Shalom and God bless each and every one. This is Brother Ryan speaking once more as we come to the thoughts that close out our devotional time together for this week. May the word of the Lord just come alive in every heart and every soul that awaits the blessed outcome of faith, as we know we have so much to look forward to in Jesus' name. So the Lord's presence be with you as we take notice of what has ever been and always will be, and say amen and glory to what the Lord has done. As the Word of God is the perfect work, I can't take away from it or add to it, but I can sure put in some amens to glorify the name of Jesus and magnify what's been written and what the Lord has done. So my thanks goes out once more to Brother Andrew and all those witnesses who add their praises to what the Bible delivers. It's a perfect work. If it gets your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and places you in heavenly places, that's perfect. And that's exactly what it was designed to do. And what else is there? For as the Almighty proclaimed in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 10 and 11, I am God. Before me, no God was formed. Beside me, there is no Savior. So, we'll speak on this topic once more. Where could I go? Where could I go? Of the places that God has prepared, we are given knowledge of the preparations being made. For the saying of the Master was, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. As there are places to walk, places to be in Christ. As so forsworn to Zechariah the prophet in Zechariah 3:7, who was given promise to be among those that stand by, there in the power of the vision. And of course, Jesus said, in my Father's house, or in my Father's kingdom, in my Father's house there are many mansions, many places to abide in the light of the all-surrounding presence of the Lord. So then we know that if we ask the question, where could I go? Then we have full assurance that a place is there in the Beulah land of the happy union with Christ. The Lord God Almighty, who seeks out a companion bride elect in order to bring them to the light of his being and be as a father to those that fear his name. As sure as our salvation is completely guaranteed by the blood of the Lamb, when we believe in the heart and confess his name by mouth, so also is our place in Christ assured. And it doesn't yet appear as to every part of what that glory includes, but we know this, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And what great crowns there are to be obtained in Christ, and what a blessed hope set before us. The whole work of creation attests to it, and our Bible is the sworn testimony of he who faithfully promises. And how we apply this gospel to our lives, well, that makes us who we are. As the message given to the seven churches of Revelation 2 and 3, all include this central theme, which is the overcomer's portion. And of course, you cannot be an overcomer unless there is something to overcome, so the issues of life and death are set before us. We have many judgments to make in this world. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, he that's spiritual, he weighs or he judges all things. But of course, we in so doing must not violate the Matthew 7:1 injunction to not judge a person as to their eternal standing of their soul. God will judge that in the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. We do have input on that, for Paul delivers that we'll judge even angels in that day, as those who are members of the gospel jury, so to speak, who stand before the great judge of all the earth, but that's not until the proper time. So for the here and now, we make decisions in this world, other than the worth of someone's soul, but in the decision that is above all, well, that's whether we follow the Lord or not, to consider who Jesus is, and to choose life over death. You have to make decisions between right and wrong, You have to see the difference between what is good and what is evil, or what is light and what is darkness. But all these will reflect and they will show in your decisions for Christ. So in thinking on these thoughts from above, let's turn our attention to Psalms 139 for a few moments. In what I often describe as the most beautiful and poetic of all the Psalms, as wisdom has not changed in the 3,000 years since it was composed by David the king in this particular psalm, as it was inspired to him from above. And as we all know, David had many human flaws, and some of those are well documented in Scripture. But still, he was a man of conscience and repentance, which made him to be, in the final analysis, a man after God's own heart. It takes a lot of courage to admit and acknowledge transgression. David had that ability, and God could use him to establish his covenant with. So applying all that to this thought of where could I go, and concentrating upon the feeling that would make it to seem that God is far away from us, and when it appears that his will is so hard to find, we read these words out of Psalms 139. I'll start at the 7th verse. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. The word of God covers all situations, as the darkness and the light of the following verses are all the same to the eternal, infinite God. He'll find you wherever you are, and his person is so very near. And now it's an invisible to the naked eye presence, so that creates the thought and makes it seem that the Lord is far removed from us, especially as it is in times of transgression, as David fell into, or in such instances as the pursuit of King Saul against him. But as invisible as the Spirit of the Lord may be, we learn from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, that all things which are seen are made of things that do not appear outwardly. So the visible exists out of the invisible, and Psalms 139 teaches us in that regard. And one of those things not seen by the natural eye is faith, which is, of course, the key word that characterizes Hebrews chapter 11. So invisible faith can move mountains. It can move the mountain that is seen as according to need. Now, in the history of the world, no one's ever done it just yet. But when such a time arises, it can be done in Jesus' name. So we place no limits upon the Holy One of Israel. The Bible starts with a miracle, for in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and that certainly included moving a few mountains. And that's a miracle right from the start. So in the very first scripture of the Bible, we learn that there are no impossibilities with the Almighty. If God brought creation itself into existence, well then, what could we call impossible in him? As we have a beginning, which is a measurement of time, we have the heavens, that space to put his creation in, and so life amongst us. And earth represents all solid matter that composes physical existence. So a beginning with the heavens and the earth, that's time, space, and matter all coming forth at once. And that is miraculous. And that's with one scripture. And if that was the only scripture we had, we would still know that God is everywhere and can do all things. But of course, we're blessed with more than one scripture, for which we thank the Lord, as we have many verses to compare one to another, given by one God to whom there is no comparison to. And it all speaks to the glory of he who was and is to come. As the angelic witness was given to John the Revelator there on the Isle of Patmos, it goes on to tell us, for thou hast created all things, in verse 11 of Revelation 4. Thou hast created all things, for thy pleasure they are and were created. So by that we see God fulfilling his own infinite potential, for he was not a creator until he created. He was not God until there were beings brought to life to worship him. And where else is there to be other than what God has spoken forth? His presence is nearer. It's much nearer than what is commonly believed. And we're living inside that spirit of truth right now. For as Paul once said upon Mars Hill in Athens, in him we live and move and have our being. That's comfort, and it's strength, such as is found in Psalms 139. Plus it's truth. Where is it that one could go to get away from truth? Truth exists everywhere. Therefore, there's nowhere to flee to where the spirit of truth that God is cannot be found. And such strength sustained David when he felt he was all alone, as he perceived that the Lord was in the very fabric of the universe. And so he is. Where else could David have gone but to the Lord and to God's presence? In this pilgrimage of faith, where we have no permanent place of refuge, no continuing city, we keep hope alive by being convinced of that which is to come. In a land of promise that has its descriptions written in a city four square, in perfect dimension with a God who numbers and measures out the span of the cosmos. He numbered the days that would lead to the Bethlehem birth in Scripture. So what is it that God cannot do, and where else could we go in time of trouble? In Matthew chapter 11, by example of carrying the cross to the place of execution, Christ showed the willingness to bear our sorrows. And related to that, from Matthew 11 and the times that lead up to Golgotha and the hill at Mount Calvary, from Matthew 11 and the 28th verse, we read, "Come unto me, all ye that labor, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, God never asks so very much of us, as Micah 6:8 relates. "What has the Lord required of thee but to do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with thy God?" The Lord shows us what's good, and his yoke is easy, his burden light. Now, the struggles we endure, yes, there's hardness to that, but the essentials of life are easy to obtain, as these words speak to us of the very nature of God. So call unto him. Where else could we go? That's what Jeremiah the prophet did in his lamentations and in his pleadings with the Lord for the nation of Judah. For Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, there's an answer there which says, "I will answer thee." And the Lord did answer the prayers of the faithful by fulfilling the Messiah messenger promise in Christ. So it came to pass as promised, and that act got the burden of debt, the burden of sin, off of us by paying a debt that Christ did not owe himself, as we owed a debt we could not pay on our own. So when it feels like we're carrying a heavy load, think on this life, think on the sayings of Christ. A little eternal gospel perspective goes a long, long way in Jesus' name. It's food for the soul of those who know that man does not live by bread alone, as our creation needs manna from above, heavenly bread that goes beyond the manna that fell in the wilderness at the time of the Exodus, as God's word is that precious bread of life that makes us to rise up in Jesus' name and to be blessed. And that's our fully assured hope that knows and has expectation of blessings to follow. So thank the Lord as we seek his will. Our plea is, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus, yet not our will, but thy will be done." And may God be with you all and be in your voices of praise. Amen, and God bless.